Pod, Grow Your Mind, Feed Your Soul. I'm your host, Carly Bodrug, journalist turned food blogger and the girl behind the popular plant-based brand, Plant You. Cramping, water retention, mood swings, and intense cravings for everything chocolate. If you're one of the millions of human beings who get their periods each month, some of these side effects might be all too familiar. But why do our periods come with this long list of undesirable symptoms? Why for some and not for others? And what's actually happening to your body during your menstrual cycle and throughout the month? Today we're talking everything periods. I've had mine for well over a decade, and before this podcast, I'm a little embarrassed to admit I really had such a surface level understanding of what's happening in my body every month, and I'm so glad we're finally talking about it. Nothing's off the table in today's podcast. Before we get started, I just want to thank everyone who has pre-ordered my debut cookbook, Plant You. Comes out in January, and it truly has such an impact on the success of the cookbook when you pre-order. To sweeten the deal, everyone who pre-orders in the next month will be receiving my 101 vegan snack recipe ebook. I'll include the order and claim link in the description. I'm so excited to welcome Nicole Jardim to the podcast today, who is a certified women's health coach, writer, speaker, mentor, and the creator and author of Fix Your Period. We also happen to share the same incredible literary agent, Wendy Sherman, which is how Nicole and I got introduced. As always, if you enjoy this podcast, make sure to take a screenshot and tag me and Nicole M. Jardim on Instagram so we can share the love. Your reviews also mean the world to me. Without further ado, welcome Nicole to the Plant Pod.
Hi, thank you so much for having me, Carly.
So right away, I'd like to ask, it's a unique field of study to be in, talking about everything to do with menstrual cycles. I mean, how did you get into this?
Oh, it was a long journey, as you can imagine. I struggled really badly with my periods as a teenager. It went on for years and years. I had really heavy, painful periods, you know, the kind of period pain that literally makes you see stars. And I also, you know, would leak through my pajamas at night and then my school uniform the next day. It was basically every teenage girl's nightmare scenario. And so this went on for a long time. And my mom was like, well, you know, I had really terrible periods too. So it's like, this is what you got, unfortunately. And I think that that's so relatable for a lot of people. So what ended up happening was I started noticing that my period started coming like every 3 or 4 months. And then my mom was like, okay, let's go to the doctor because that doesn't seem quite right. And so we went and she basically put me on the pill right away and said that that was going to be the solution to all of my period woes. And I thought, this is amazing. This is exactly what I need. Something that's going to regulate my cycle and give me normal periods that don't hurt and that aren't heavy and causing me all this pain and trauma every month. And I was on the pill for about 5 years. And within about 1 or 2 years of being on it, I started to have all of these problems, things that just seemed so unrelatable. And so that was where this sort of journey began, I suppose you could say. And so I ended up seeing a ton of different doctors. You know, I had skin problems and my hair was falling out and I was putting on weight and I had terrible gut health issues and I had joint pain and I just felt chronically sick. It was a bad situation. And I felt like I was sort of the poster child for all pill side effects. So anyways, fast forward, I finally saw an acupuncturist after no one could help me in the modern medicine realm. And he was the first person to say, maybe it's your birth control pill. And at the time I thought, there's absolutely no way. This guy is completely crazy. He has no idea what he's talking about. And so that was really when this, like I said, this journey began because he got me thinking. And eventually after explaining how the pill worked and you know what it does to your body, I thought, oh, maybe this could be it. And so I went off of it and I worked with him for a long time and I finally started to get to a place of a normal cycle again and feeling healthy again. And that was the catalyst for me doing this work because I was studying film production in school. I was getting into work in TV commercials and live events and all that. This was not part of the plan at all, not even close. So yeah, anyway, fast forward like 15 years and I, you know, did a ton of work and studying and all of this. And here I am talking to you.
That's amazing. So this really ignited you to enroll in like a health coach course. And then you started kind of fixating on periods, birth control pills.
Yes, exactly. And so again, it was because of my own experience. I felt that I could really speak to people who were also experiencing these problems. And when I started learning more about women's health and hormones and how the female body works, no one was really talking about periods. And I remember back then, a lot of women said they didn't really know much about hormones. And this was a while ago when there wasn't a ton of information out on the internet. And a lot of women said, though, but I know I have period problems. And so that was where Fix Your Period came from. And I thought, okay, well, if they understand that they have period problems and they can address them, then let's go with that. And so that's how the Fix Your Period term was born.
I'll tell you, I feel like it's still not talked about enough. One of the questions I wanted to ask you during this is like, what is actually happening to someone's body during their period? Because like, obviously I know we bleed. Something about the lining is coming off, the egg's dropping, but like what is happening that's causing this?
And why said it that way? And why, right? That's the big question. Seriously, no kidding. A lot is happening actually. And what's really interesting is that we all have been led to believe that your period is the star of the show. It's the big culminating event, but it really isn't. It's actually ovulation that's happening at, you know, in the middle of your cycle. And then that the cycle ends with, well, the next cycle begins with a new period, but your cycle ends with the lead up to this period that usually for a lot of us is really problematic. So basically what's happening is ovulation occurs, and then there are a series of hormonal fluctuations that happen, and then you get your period. But what's happening at the end of your cycle is interesting, because you have high levels of progesterone after you ovulate, but that progesterone, so that's that progestation hormone, it's the hormone that gets your uterine lining ready for implantation of a fertilized egg, if that's the route you're going down, but our body is always doing that every month because that's what it's supposed to do. And so progesterone is there, it's doing its thing. It's a calming, anti-anxiety, anti-inflammatory hormone. So when it drops, because that's what it does, it goes up high and then it drops down quite dramatically right before you get your period. And that's a trigger. So it's almost like a message to your endometrium. Okay, well, things didn't work out this month. We're going to shed this lining and call it a day and move on to the next month. And so progesterone drops, and with it, your mood drops, you start to feel more anxious, you might have some sleep problems, you might notice you feel more inflamed, so you might experience more pain, more autoimmune conditions if you have those. The symptoms tend to show up at this time of the cycle. So it's not the most ideal. However, there's ways to mitigate that. But basically, progesterone drops, your uterine lining starts to shed, and you start to feel these symptoms. So crampiness, and the mood changes and things like that. And then you get your period. And usually a period should be somewhere between 3 and 7 days. That's what I really like to see. And then the whole cycle kind of starts over again. But prior to getting your period, the hormone cycle has already started. FSH, which is follicle stimulating hormone that comes from your brain. It tells your ovaries, stimulate little follicles on your ovaries so that you can get an egg ready for the next cycle. That is already going. Like, it's already going to stimulate your ovaries for that next cycle. So there's always this amazing amount of hormone fluctuation happening throughout your cycle, even when you get your period, even when hormones are low at that point.
It makes so much sense. I always joke with my girlfriends. I say, like, we get one good week. Like, it's like the week after your period, it's like you feel light and thin and energetic, and then it just starts to go down. Like, is that the hormone fluctuations?
Okay, so first of all, you poor thing, we should have more than one good week, ladies.
That's an exaggeration, but like, the week after the period is the best. Like, that is, is like...
I know, right? I actually shared a meme on Instagram a couple months ago, and it was a picture of Cinderella in her dress when, you know, she's all sparkly and magical. And it says day three, when your estrogen starts to rise.
Yes.
Right? Oh my God. So many people love that meme. And it's so true, because it really is reflective of what exactly is going on in our bodies. And just so everyone knows, what's happening is when you get your period, those hormones, they're all pretty much low for the most part. And then estrogen starts to rise. Estrogen is that sort of yummy, juicy hormone that's responsible for cervical fluid changes and your energy changing and your mood lifting. And estrogen, amazingly, and we'll talk more about this in detail, I feel like, because you asked some questions about this in the document you sent over, but basically it's an insulin sensitizing hormone. So your appetite is not as high. You definitely don't have water retention the way you might have with progesterone. Progesterone makes you hold on to water. So fun. And and it also makes you feel like you just feel really like your muscles look great. Everything was good. And testosterone is rising simultaneously, not as much. It peaks at ovulation, but same thing. Your sex drive is great. Your motivation, your drive, everything is just really on point during these, you know, sort of like that first week of your cycle into the end of the second week, if you're, you know, if you have a relatively regular cycle. So yeah, you are not wrong. That's what's going on.
So what do you find? I mean, obviously we go through a lot through our cycles, but what do you find is the most common issue people face and come to you for?
You know, this is a great question. And I feel like it's certainly changed over the years. But what I find more than anything is mood changes. And I, you know, I've got some theories on this, but it's mood changes in addition to irregular cycles and heavy periods. I feel like those are, and painful periods, sorry, I should have said that too. So irregular cycles, painful periods, heavy periods, and then PMS changes or premenstrual mood changes. And ultimately, when we look at all of these, what we're told by modern medicine is that they're all different. And yet, unfortunately, they're all treated the same. Like they're generally treated with the birth control pill or some other form of hormonal birth control, which is really just going to stop ovulation from happening. And this makes me a little crazy because ovulation is such a critical component of female health because it's the driver for the production of all of these hormones. Like I said, estrogen's rising, testosterone's rising, and then progesterone rises, and progesterone is responsible for lots of great things as well. And when we don't have this ovulatory event every month, what we run into is sort of like flatlined hormones. And so your hormones are just not doing anything because you're on the pill. And so your brain is getting a signal that there is hormone in the body and it doesn't need to signal the ovaries to do what they do. And so then, yeah, it's just this constant state of flatlined hormones. And that's a major problem because those hormones in the pill, first of all, are not the same as our endogenous hormones. They have different effects. There are side effects that are involved. And the second thing is our endogenous hormones are not just about, oh, getting pregnant and your menstrual cycle regulation every month. They do so much more. Like I said about progesterone, it does a bunch of things. Estrogen and testosterone are responsible for bone health, brain function, cognitive function, your skin as well, your sex drive, vaginal lubrication, I could go on and on. So it's not just about your period. And so essentially these problems are treated by someone like me very different than they would be treated by a doctor because they'll just prescribe the pill. And, you know, that's kind of like the blanket treatment for all of these issues. But the conditions are showing up mostly because our modern world is not the easiest place to live in. You know, we're perpetually in a state of psychological stress. We're physically stressing our bodies because, you know, there's a lot of sugar in our diets. There's a lot of caffeine. We have an epidemic of gut health issues that are also connected to hormone problems. You know, I could go on and on. I feel like generally people know what's causing these things, but what I like to do is connect them to your period and show you how your period is a mirror of your overall health and environment.
I had a similar experience to what you're talking about. I was prescribed the pill at 16, wasn't sexually active at the time. And I had just gone in and said I had bad cramps, which I did. But in retrospect, I don't know. Well, they were bad enough. But do you think that, and I mean, I came off of it last year and I felt like a veil lifted of this fog that I didn't even know I was under because I was on it for my entire adult life. And I'm curious, so if somebody is going seeking help for these issues, what are the alternatives for the pill? Because it seems to be just slapped on like a Band-Aid with really no explanation of some of the repercussions of it.
Oh my gosh, I could not agree with you more. I think that that's the problem, is truly informed consent is really lacking. And so many young girls and, you know, people who menstruate are in a situation where they're being prescribed this. And, you know, and it's not a solution. It's really just a Band-Aid, as you know. And unfortunately, what happens in many cases is it leads to worsening of the underlying problem to begin with. Because I say this right all the time, right? Your period is not just your period. Your period is 100% a reflection of something else going on, or everything else going on in your body. I talk about women's bodies as being the canary in the coal mine, because it's so true. Like, we are, you know, our menstrual cycles are very much reflective of our external environments and our internal environment. And we have this as a barometer for our health, which is incredible. And yet it's been turned completely upside down and been positioned as this thing that's just terrible and that we have to live with, or that we just medicate away, which is hugely problematic. So ultimately, you know, what I do and, you know, and what I think needs to happen is, first of all, an investigation of what the symptoms actually are and how they could possibly be connected to something else going on. And so I've always walked clients through a protocol that involves cycle tracking, so that you know when you get your period, what the symptoms are, what might be causing all of the symptoms you're experiencing, to really get a fundamental understanding of your body. And then from there, we're making dietary changes. We're walking through blood sugar stabilization, because blood sugar, which we'll talk about, is a huge part of this as well. And then in addition to that, we look at your gut health, your liver function, as well as your stress and your thyroid. And then on top of that, there's all the lifestyle components. So what are you doing in your work? And are you happy? What are your relationships like? What are your romantic relationships like? What's your sleep like? I mean, that's huge. So sleep is, you know, sleep runs on a circadian, on your circadian rhythm, and your circadian rhythm is very much like your menstrual cycle rhythm. So all of these rhythms in the body are playing a role in your, you know, in how things work. So ultimately it's like, this is what I think fixes my period, and it's the birth control pill and all these other things, and what actually fixes your period. And it's, you know, it's a lot of stuff. So it's, you know, it's a multifaceted approach.
Can we talk about diet? Because obviously a lot of my listeners are going to be coming from my Instagram page, which is like a plant-based recipe page. So yes. What is it? I guess it's person to person, but are there things that our listeners can be doing and integrating into their diet to help make this roller coaster months a more kind of balanced, in tune experience?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Totally. You know, I think it's interesting because we all do respond differently, of course, to foods. And for me personally, I'm not plant-based, and I, you know, that's what works for me and has worked for lots of my clients. Whereas I've had other clients who a plant-based diet works great. So ultimately what I have found is that, you know, blood sugar stabilization is so crucial, because basically what's happening, and I should explain this, because I think that this is really what is the crux of a lot of the problems for people. So like I said, in that follicular phase, that's the first half of your cycle, you know, we have this increase in estrogen production that's happening. And so estrogen correlates with increased insulin sensitivity. And what this means is that insulin just works better for you in your body. You need less of it to control blood glucose levels in this first half of your cycle. And then estrogen drops off post-ovulation, and then it'll come back a little bit towards your period. And then progesterone is rising. And so higher progesterone can actually affect insulin sensitivity negatively. And so this means that you're more prone to these blood sugar swings, you know, the hyperglycemia to hypoglycemia, and you're more sensitive to drops in blood sugar in the second half of your cycle. And what does this all look like? Food cravings, mood swings, brain fog, bouts of fatigue. You want to snap at someone one minute, you want to love them up the next minute. You know, so the big takeaway here is that before ovulation, you might be able to tolerate, you know, like something sugary, or you might be able to handle skipping a meal or not eating as much. But in the second half of your cycle, no matter your diet, you want to make sure that you're stabilizing your blood sugar. And I'm a big fan of testing your blood sugar. I've used traditionally like a finger prick glucometer, but I have recently started using a continuous glucose monitor, which is something that goes in the back of your arm. And that has been really fascinating. And you can really see the changes in your blood sugar from first half of your cycle to second half of your cycle. And then of course, based on your diet, you'll know whether what you're eating is working for you or not working for you. So I think that that's really the big focus. And so when I talk about this, like, I think everyone should just start with, you know, what does your plate look like, and get that visual. And so I usually have people, and this varies, of course, but I usually have people dedicate, you know, half of their plate to veggies, cruciferous veggies, particularly because cruciferous veggies contain compounds that will help support liver detoxification of hormones so that they actually are removed from your body rather than recirculating, because that can be problematic. And then on, you know, one quarter of the plate is protein, and then another quarter is fats. And, you know, and really this idea here is that you're providing enough protein and fat to support the building of your hormones and utilization of them. We need cholesterol in our body in order to ovulate. Actually, the little follicle that our egg comes out of actually literally utilizes cholesterol to make the hormones that it's going to make so that you have a healthy cycle. So yeah, you know, we really want this combination of that protein, fat to stabilize our blood sugar, fiber, and carbohydrates. To really make sure that we're getting everything that we need. So it's kind of like this balanced plate, no matter the diet, the type of diet you're on.
So one thing you didn't mention is chocolate, because right before periods, I mean, I know I'm not alone, but like chocolate, it's like necessary. Why? And should we be eating it?
It's a thing. I know for sure. There are a few theories on this. I think potentially, you know, because chocolate for sure. I think that a lot of other people might just crave carbohydrates in general. And so that might be it. But cacao has a high level of magnesium traditionally. And interestingly, magnesium actually appears to be depleted by cyclical changes in our hormones. So when we, in the second half of our cycle or the luteal phase, magnesium gets depleted. And this potentially plays a role in PMS symptoms and, you know, the emotional PMS symptoms, and then migraines, bloating, things like that. Because when you have magnesium, it actually reduces things like breast tenderness and the PMS related anxiety and sleeplessness and period pain. It's kind of, I joke that it's the period mineral, because it kind of is. So that might be why we crave chocolate, although chocolate is just so great in general. So maybe it's, you know, just something that we all want. I don't know. But yeah, so I really do think that that's part of what's happening is that. And then also, you know, it's the blood sugar issue again, right? So we want things that are going to bring our blood sugar back up. Typically, chocolate comes with sugar. And so we want blood sugar to come back up so we feel better. And, you know, it boosts our serotonin levels and it makes our moods feel better. So I think it's a combination of a lot of things.
You had alluded to water retention around your period and this being to do with the hormone changes. Is there ways that you suggest to alleviate that other than taking something like a Midol?
Yes, absolutely. So I think, you know, I think the first thing is obviously make sure that you're getting a lot of water in your diet, or, you know, a daily intake of water is sufficient. I think that's the first thing. I think the second thing is that we need to, like I said, you know, we need to make sure that we're getting these minerals in our diet too. So magnesium, right, selenium, zinc, all of these are going to support that, potassium, all of it are going to support that sodium potassium balance, going to support water retention or how much we retain. Ultimately though, I think that it's really important to remember that at this time in your cycle, you're not meant to look the way you looked 2 weeks before. So I think that that's something, I know it's shocking and upsetting to a lot of people, but we are cyclical beings. And because of these hormone fluctuations, what happens is our, you know, our, our bodies change. And so, like I said, with estrogen and testosterone, we tend to be leaner. We tend to have more of, we'll see the muscles. Like we'll definitely see the muscles more than the second half of our cycle. So then in the second half of our cycle now, progesterone, like I said, it makes you retain water a little bit, but also too, your body is literally preparing to house a baby potentially. And so with that said, your body is going to change. And so we're kind of like putting on weight, so to speak, so that we can prepare for pregnancy. And this is just something that has happened for hundreds of thousands of years. This is what our bodies do. And so it's really just preparing to take care of you nutritionally and take care of this potential fetus.
And I know a lot of people, including myself, like the cramps are obviously sometimes very painful. Some people seem to be debilitating.
Yeah.
This has got to be very individual, but I'm wondering if you have some simple tips to help alleviate that. And why is there such a spectrum? Like I have some friends who say they don't even get cramps. Gotta love that.
I know. Don't you hate those people?
Yeah.
You're like, ugh, I hate you. I know. Oh my gosh. So relatable. I knew. I mean, like that was my life. I feel like I had debilitating cramps and everyone else is like, oh, just easing through their periods. No big deal. And I used to be so annoyed at them. Yes, there is a huge spectrum and it's dependent on a lot of things. I think the first thing with menstrual pain is that we have to figure out what's causing it in the first place. So there are a few things. The first is it a structural problem? Do you need to see someone like a pelvic physical therapist or someone who practices visceral manipulation, which is where they, you know, they get in there and they figure out like what's happening, with your body on a structural level. So the pelvic PT is another person, like I said, they would be looking at pelvic floor dysfunction, what's happening in that general area of your body and how it connects to the rest of your body, structurally speaking. So that I think is a big component for a lot of people. Especially because a lot of us wear high heels, we sit perpetually, we're not taught actually how to use our pelvic floor muscles. Like we're really not, we're not taught how to breathe properly, nothing. And so that plays a role, especially as we get older, when we have children, all of that stuff. So that could be happening. The second thing is it inflammation? Are we just inflamed? And if you're inflamed, that can show up in multiple ways. It can show up as joint pain. It can show up as, some other kind of condition. It can show up as period pain. And so when we're inflamed, essentially what that means is we are eating something or some things. We are very stressed. We have gut health related issues. So our gut is essentially leaky and there's gut dysbiosis and those not so fun things are leaking out of our gut lining and causing problems in our bodies. And ultimately what then happens is this shows up as, chronic period pain. And it usually starts as like either cramping at ovulation time, because a lot of women experience that too, or cramping in the lead up to your period and then like full blown pain. So that is life disrupting and potentially debilitating. And so usually what I have people do to start is to really look at their omega-6, omega-3 consumption, because omega-6s, not all of them, but the ones that traditionally come from seed oils or come in packaged foods. So anything like peanut oil, sunflower oil, safflower, sesame seed, all of these seed oils are kind of new to our diet. I mean, they really weren't around a few hundred years ago. And so they're so processed and they're so rancid that they trigger huge amounts of inflammation in the body. And so if we can start to work on taking those out of our diet, and I know it can be challenging because you'll find them in pretty much everything, like every cracker on the market, like all of this stuff is right, going to be in these products. But I have seen massive changes just from reducing your omega-6 consumption and increasing your omega-3 consumption. And again, I know that this is mostly a plant-based audience. So, my recommendation is fish oil or algae oil or something like that, but it really can be dramatically shift the pain that you experience with your period. So that's
so interesting.
Yeah, go ahead. I was going to say too, because there are these things called prostaglandins. They're actually substances that trigger the uterine lining to be released when you're getting your period. And so your uterus is releasing a lot of them when that time of the cycle happens. And there are pro-inflammatory prostaglandins and anti-inflammatory prostaglandins. And the pro-inflammatory prostaglandins actually are, you know, they derive from those pro-inflammatory omega-6s. So some of us might have more prostaglandins, more pro-inflammatory prostaglandins than others. And so really it comes down to your diet and what you're doing with your diet. I feel like that's a huge part of it. And the other part of it too is, you know, there are other things that we can do, right? I'm a big fan of castor oil packs, not using those during your period, but you can use them at other times in your cycle. And castor oil is one of those miraculous plants, or the castor plant is, and it's tremendously helpful for adhesions and breaking up scar tissue, things like that. It's used traditionally in all kinds of ways that way, like that. And I highly recommend it for period pain, especially if there's something structural happening like endometriosis. And then of course, vaginal steaming is another one. It's super controversial, but I've seen it work a million times for period pain. You know, women can do that. There are lots of options out there. One of the women who is a pioneer in this field is, her name is the Steamy Chick. You'll find her on Instagram and on our website. And, you know, and she's really got a ton of resources on this practice. I feel like it can be really helpful too. Like I said, magnesium is tremendously helpful for period pain. So are hot water bottles. There's CBD oil. You can use it orally and topically as well. So there's lots of options, I think, for people to consider.
I keep hearing a lot about people working, setting their work schedule alongside their cycle. Is this something you do? Yes. And you recommend it?
I love how you said it like that. You're like, yeah, this thing. Yeah, it's great, right? I mean, like, I am a huge fan of this. I feel like it's, you know, there's lots of names for it, cycle syncing, things like that. And the idea here is that our world, generally speaking, is set up on a male biological clock, or it revolves around a male biological clock, and we are females. We don't work that way. And so our biological clock really centers around, you know, the menstrual cycle. And so this is more of like a month long cycle versus the male cycle, which is a daily cycle. And, you know, their testosterone rises in the morning and their cortisol rises, and they're good to go. Like, they're up and about doing their thing. And then that drops at the end of the day and they go to sleep and they do it all over again. We're a little more nuanced than that. And as everyone listening probably knows. And so ultimately, you know, the idea here is that we are working with those phases of our cycle. So like you said, we have that good week, or we have a good 2 weeks. And so what you're wanting to do is really focus the more intense things that you're doing in your life, whether that's, you know, job interviews, or you're planning a program launch like what I'm doing right now, or you're, you know, something that you're doing in work where you have a big project or something you're working on. The bulk of the work you want to, or at least the bulk of the hard work, you want to try and focus that on that first half of your cycle, when estrogen and testosterone are rising, when your brain function is at its peak, and then shift a little bit when ovulation occurs and you're going to start doing more of the internal work. So for me personally, I do a lot of my analytic stuff, my financial stuff, my back end things along those lines in that second half of my cycle. And then the idea here is that you're taking some time for yourself when you get your period. So whether that's 20 minutes of alone time, or if that's all you can do, or it's, you know, taking a day off from work even, because a lot of people do that too. The idea is that you're really honoring this time that you need to rest, because your body is, I mean, you're shedding your uterine lining. It's an intense process, you know, it's kind of a big deal. And like I said, you're a little bit more inflamed at this time, right? Because your period is kind of an inflammatory event. So you're not feeling so great anyway. You're not really going to be productive. Pushing through is a very masculine way of approaching work and life. And the feminine way is to just sort of literally flow with it. And so I think that that is, you know, one of the ways that we can really learn to live in tandem with our cycle, so that we can then feel better. Because a lot of the complaints we have about our menstrual cycles are because we're living in this very masculine oriented environment and we're doing things counterintuitive to our own biology.
One thing I want to ask you is, if people are listening, how do they know if what they're experiencing is abnormal? Like, what is a typical kind of healthy cycle look like versus maybe there's something going on?
Yeah, I think this is a great question. And I feel like it's so important to kind of know what you're aiming for, because I agree, nobody really knows. We're not really told that. So what I like to see with a, you know, quote unquote normal menstrual cycle, and again, I say this with rabbit's ears, because I feel like it's dependent on your norm. But generally speaking, like I said, I like to see a period between 3 and 7 days long. I really like to, you know, not see more than 80 milliliters of blood loss. And you should look at that in a measuring cup just to kind of see. And just keep in mind too, it's hard to measure blood loss because, you know, it's challenging for obvious reasons, but especially in the research. But generally, if you, you know, one of the ways to know whether you have a heavy period or not is whether you're waking up in the middle of the night to change pads or tampons or period underwear, or you have to double up on protection, or you have to cover your mattress like I used to have to do, or you may be bleeding for more than 7 days. You may also be iron deficient or anemic. You may also feel completely wiped out and fatigued by your period during it or right after it. So those are some of the signs that you might have too much blood loss. Whereas on the flip side of that, periods less than 2 days, light pink colored, just spotting, or using like just a few pads or tampons throughout your entire period, that's often a sign to me that your period is too light. And in either case, on either end of the spectrum, it could indicate that you're not ovulating or you're ovulating sporadically. And the reason I say that is because in order for us to make progesterone, we have to ovulate. That little follicle where the egg comes out of, that becomes a progesterone producing machine. And so that's producing all this progesterone. And that progesterone is what sort of smooths out your lining, right? So estrogen comes in and it's a builder. And so it's going to build up that lining. And then progesterone just stops the building and just tapers it down. And so what then happens is you don't have as heavy of a period as if you didn't ovulate and your estrogen just continues to build unopposed. So it's one, you know, it's kind of like two outcomes of the same situation. And it just depends on our bodies and our genetics and stuff. So those are some of the things. I think the other thing is too, period pain that disrupts your life. We should talk about this because this has been so normalized in our society. It makes me kind of crazy because we are a society of women who feel like we should just, this is our lot in life and we should just need to struggle through and suffer with pain. And I just keep thinking about pain being normalized and how it's not normalized in other scenarios at all. Like if you hurt your ankle, that's not normal. If you, you know, have a headache or a migraine, that could be indicate something. So there's all kinds of reasons why pain should never be ignored. Uterine pain should never be ignored because it's not this thing that's just randomly happening. It's like I said, it could be just chronic inflammation and you might need to work on that from a dietary perspective. It could be a physical problem that's happening. It could be a condition like endometriosis, a condition like adenomyosis. There are lots of reasons why you might experience pain. And so I encourage anyone, if they do, to really listen to that and not just ignore it. And definitely don't just take the Band-Aid solution route, because it becomes more problematic as you get older if you ignore it. I think the other thing too is that, so yeah, if you need a painkiller here or there or whatever for your period pain, or it's not disrupting your life, to me, that's generally okay. I think the other thing too is the mood changes. If your mood is disrupting your life in the 5 to 7 days prior to your period, that's also something you want to look at. And like I was saying before, it's kind of the same causes and different outcomes. So inflammation, blood sugar issues, liver detoxification, the liver is just not detoxing your estrogen properly. So there's problems there, like inflammation, things like that. So ultimately, yeah, I feel like those are some of the things. Spotting too is another one. If you spot for like 1 or 2 days before your period, that to me is not a big deal. Or right after your period, it tapers off with some spotting. That's not a huge issue, but a lot of women I see spot 5, 6, 7, 10 days before their period, all throughout their luteal phase. And they're like, what the hell is going on with me? And usually that to me is a sign of progesterone deficiency. Cause like I said, that progesterone holds your uterine lining in place. And so if it's dropping prematurely, or it's just never reaching high enough threshold, your lining is just like, okay, we're just going to lose a little bit here and there. So you start to spot. So I think some of those are the signs that we should be looking for to determine whether things are normal or not.
And we might have some listeners that are thinking, oh, I think I need to delve more into this. You had mentioned something about launching a program earlier in the episode. Is that something that might apply here?
Yes, possibly. It's a little bit of a different program. It's for practitioners, but I do have a Fix Your Period program. And I also have a program called Harness Your Hormones. That's usually the first step people take. And so that really walks you through the dietary changes, what is going on with your cycle. I walk you through what's normal, what's not, in much more detail, because I have a lot more time there. And, you know, and that really is one of those, I feel like a good stepping stone for anyone who's like, I don't know what to do here. And I'm really struggling. And I just don't know what's going on with my body. I feel like it's a bit of period literacy 101.
Oh, that's amazing. And then you also have this amazing book, Fix Your Period. So yes. I'm assuming that's available basically everywhere books are sold.
It is. Yeah, it is. And you can go to fixyourperiod.com. You can find the places it's sold in the US, Canada, and pretty much worldwide. I've tried to find every spot that's selling my book and stick it on that site. So yes, it is.
I love that. This has been like such an educational episode and such a pleasure. So I just want to say a massive thank you. You're such a rock star. So thank you for coming on. And I know my listeners are just going to eat it up.
Aw, thanks, Carly. Thank you so much for having me. I hope it's helpful for everyone listening.
There you have it, folks. Another Plant Pod episode in the books. And wasn't Nicole amazing? I learned so much during this podcast recording, and I hope it was valuable to you as well. As always, if you enjoyed this episode, make sure to take a screenshot, share it in your stories, tag Nicole and I. I'll put all her socials in the description below. If you have any topic requests, any guest requests, just DM me on Instagram. I try to read all of my DMs. I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next week.